All right, everyone, it's Sports and Strikes, episode 3, I guess third week there, Steven, except the audio last week got messed up on my computer. My fault! It's falling apart like the Bears season, but there's hope. We'll draft for next year. Let's get into the NFL. We're just finishing up from week 15, two more weeks left, Christmas Eve and New Year's Eve. And a lot of I mean, obviously we're going to talk about that, the crossing the line, the Pittsburgh versus New England, which was silly. You know, yeah. Like you could have kicked it and tied it and then decided to go for it. And it was just not a good call, I don't think. But then everyone just complaining that, you know, a touchdown has a touchdown across the line. You didn't have control. So, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, as we talked about before I came on air, I think I spent more time quoting an NFL rule book today than I probably ever have. I mean, for me, there's a few things come out of this. As you said, the play calling was horrific. The Steelers should have gone and tried to tie the game anyway instead of trying to try and win the game. The rule as it stands was called correctly on the field. You know, he is a receiver. He needs to prove he has possession of the ball. It's not just about breaking the plane. He's not a running back. So the rule is as it is. Now, I mean, I don't agree with the rule. I'm sure you probably don't agree with the rule. I think it's not well written.
Yeah.
It's interpreted the correct way, but it maybe needs to be looked at. But I don't think we're going to get to that scenario. But I also think the other thing is, if it wasn't the Patriots, I don't think we'd be talking about this as much as we are.
Yeah.
I think the Steelers have kind of shot themselves in the foot because they obviously had control at that point. Now, by losing this game, they now give up control to the Patriots. The Patriots are likely going to, you know, run out with victories now. Plus, the Steelers have got the situation with Antonio Brown. Yeah, he's going to be back for the playoffs, as far as we're aware. But it's not a great scenario to be in.
No, it's not. And, I mean, obviously, that play, and we talk about having control of the ball, takes me back to when Zach Miller did it and ruins his leg. Now, he had control of the ball, as far as I'm concerned. When I watch that, even still, though, there's got to be a degree of levity that you say, it's close. I mean, yeah. If a guy's bouncing the ball and he doesn't, you know, you're just sort of juggling it, obviously that's not control.
Yeah.
But at least something where a guy's maybe trapped it in, there's got to be a point when you've crossed the end zone where there's a little bit of give and take where you go, okay, you know what? He kind of has it. He's got it well enough, you know? He's got possession of it. But actually having full control sometimes I think is a bit nebulous when you're getting in. You know, you don't want guys going, jumping in the end zone and sort of bobbling the ball. That's not control.
No.
But at the same time, you know, I think, especially in the Zach Miller incidents, that to me was a little bit more pissy because, you know, he did have control of that ball and his leg was horrifically torn apart and probably ended his whole NFL playing career.
Yeah, and I think, again, the problem you have with this is interpretation. The minute you have a rule that is open for interpretation, that's where you've got a problem. I mean, that's the same in all sports. You know, you talk about their control. You know, some officials might say, well, that's control, that's not control, and things like that. So it is very, very difficult. I know we've got the benefit of TV replays and everything else now, which we can then study to ad nauseum the following day, same as the officials can. But I think, to be honest, as I say, for me, you're talking to a Dolphins fan here, an analyst. I'm happy with the call. I think it was right. I think the Patriots have got... the Steelers have got bigger issues. The Patriots are absolutely fine. I mean, Gronk had a phenomenal
time. Oh, yeah, Gronk was great. And I played him in my fantasy and I still lost. But and I'm out of that one. But, yeah, I mean, you know, that's the whole thing. You don't make Brady angry. And Brady, with 2 minutes left on the clock, is going to do some damage on you.
Yeah, and the other thing as well in this game, I mean, Sean Davis had a great chance and an interception which could put all of this to bed.
Yeah.
Didn't make that, so therefore you give the Patriots another life. And for me, the one team you don't give another life to is the Patriots. Yeah. So they're going to punish you for that.
Oh, yeah.
Brady Gronk all day long. And now you look at the Patriots, they've got the games against the Bills, against the Jets. You know they're going to win those games. Then they're going to have home field advantage all the way up until the Super Bowl.
Yeah, and the worst thing I also find about it, too, is that when you start checking your woodwork, you start seeing all these Patriots bandwagon fans coming out. Suddenly it's like, oh, we're back! And it's like, oh, massholes. I really, Patriots fans, oh, man, it just, I mean, there were some interesting games. I mean, I was interested in watching Phillip Rivers getting absolutely blown out by Kansas City, and some of the passes he was throwing into triple coverage, horrible, absolutely horrendous passes that he was throwing out there.
Yeah, I mean, that was one of those games, again, a couple of weeks ago with the Chiefs kind of, you know, in a shitstorm that they couldn't get a win for love nor money. Then they come and get the big win, and you begin to wonder, you know, if that is the win that they need to kind of, like, kickstart the season again. And it now looks to be the case because, you know, Hunt was excellent.
Yeah.
Alex Smith was excellent. Los Angeles did kind of make it easier for Kansas City. That was the problem. You know, you thought it was going to be a tremendous game, but they created a lot of their own problems themselves. Rivers being intercepted three times did not help. But Kansas City, you know, it's an interesting one. It's like how they'll move forward, how the Chargers will move forward. As I said to you before, I can now make a case, but I think both of these teams will be playoff teams, which a couple of weeks ago when we were sitting there with three teams on 6-6, we're like, you know, can any of these teams really be classed as a playoff team right now? I'm going to make a case for two of them.
Yeah, I mean, the AFC is a shit show in terms of the people that can sort of make it. You know, we've talked about, you know, the Tennessee, you think is not going to make it, Buffalo potentially, Baltimore, who I think will actually make it. It's a tough sort of mix in those ones. You know, and I think with some of the other games coming up, it's very important games. I mean, watching, you know, a lot of people were watching that Green Bay game last night, and there were so many Green Bay people. You know, I said I didn't think they should have brought Rodgers back. They're rushing him too much, and he didn't look that good. He had a few good plays, but, you know, it was very difficult for them. Carolina was just all over them.
To me, that was one of those games where the scoreline didn't do the game justice. I thought Carolina were, you know, a far better football team than Green Bay, and you take a look at the scoreline and go, "House is only a one touchdown game."
No, exactly.
It was absolutely ridiculous for me. Carolina looked like a Carolina team that can really make some noise come playoff time. Green Bay, I had them losing that game whether Rodgers come back or not. Yeah. So for me, you know, there was this outside chance that they could make the playoffs. I was never buying them as a playoff team in the first place. So to get Rodgers back for that, to me, did not make any sense. So Green Bay season is now dead and buried. But Carolina, for me, the interesting one.
Well, and also now you've got this last two games, why play Rodgers? You know, just let him rest. Just send him back. You know, like, he doesn't need the money. Let Brett Hundley play. See if you can get some of the young guys going. See if you can sort of put something together for your season. But it was just rushing him back too much for that one game to lose, you know?
And the thing is as well, if you now put him back on the bench, you're basically admitting that you brought him back too early now, and you're going to be willing to do that. I don't know if you will, but it is the right call to sit him down because these two games are meaningless going forward.
Yeah, exactly. And if you do put him on and he gets smoked, well, there's a couple times he went down last night, you're just like, ooh. You wonder if he gets smoked again, it's all over then, you know, and then you lose your whole next season.
Yeah, I mean, the Panthers sacked him three times, and, you know, Rodgers, to me, did not look comfortable out there.
No. I mean, the interesting one also, we were talking about the Rams, who, you know, had a tough game against Seattle the other week, and now they come back, they had a tough game last week, Philadelphia, but Seattle, they just absolutely blew out of the water, just destroyed them.
Yeah, I mean, Seattle at home, you tend to think, you know, that's always one of those tough places to go and win a game. This is Pete Carroll's worst loss in his eight seasons as head coach in Seattle. The Rams made a statement. I mean, Gurley was everywhere.
Oh,
I mean,
he's,
you know, four touchdowns. They sat him down. They was like, well, you know, your job's done. Thank you for playing. Seattle now obviously dropped to 8-6. You know, question about their playoff implications for them, whether or not they can actually make the playoffs now.
Yeah.
They potentially have opened up the door for Detroit, which I think is an interesting one. But the Rams, for me, this is very much a statement win for them.
Yeah.
And it kind of says, you know, we're a team here to be looked at. They're trying to win their first divisional title, I think, since 2003.
Yeah. Well, I think, because there was a lot of it when you were, you know, they were strong starting the season. Then you saw a few games where you saw them beaten, and you're like, I don't know, Rams. I don't know if you've got it. And as you say, it's like, okay, here we are. We're the Rams, and we're going to blow this into you. Interesting you mentioned about Detroit, because they beat Chicago the other night. And obviously I was watching that game and very gutted. Chicago just couldn't get anything together. And Stafford, you know, he was making some really good plays. He was really moving the ball around. I mean, it's going to be interesting to see in their next sort of upcoming schedule, and we'll sort of talk about some of the games coming up, but it'll be interesting to see what Detroit can do and if they can actually get their running game to really help Stafford going.
I think the big thing for me when it comes to Detroit is you start looking at, like, strength of schedule going forward, and they've got Cincinnati coming out, which you have to think they're going to win that game. Then they've got Green Bay at home. So although it's not one on the road, one at home, they're sitting at the moment at 8-6, and I'm sitting here making a case for the Lions to be 10-6, which will be enough for them, for me, to make a playoff spot in the NFC. Are they really a playoff team? Possibly not. I mean, I'll go as far as Stafford can basically take them, as we all know when it comes to Detroit. But they've got to get a running game going, because if they want to try and make even a little bit of noise in the playoffs, they're going to need to do that. I mean, again, for me, they're one and done. They'll get in there as a wild card and then they're gone. But for them to actually get into the playoffs this season, I think is a huge boost for them and will be regarded as a successful season.
Yeah, I think so. You know, it's one of those seasons where they were able to hold their own in a very tough division with a lot of injuries, and Stafford was able to put some yards up and points up. But it'll be interesting. And, you know, there's a lot of teams that should feel good about themselves, I think, and some that just should feel like absolute shit. I mean, you feel bad for the Jets losing 30-19, but, you know, New Orleans was really just hammering them on that one. And not having the quarterback and, you know, doing what they did, it wasn't that bad of a game for the Jets, but the Jets have been an up-and-down season all season, you know?
Yeah, and they have been very up-and-down. I mean, I think every time I saw the Jets quarterback drop back, I was like, where's this going to go? And for me, it was one of those banker games over the weekend that the Saints were going to win that one. We saw, we didn't see anything different about them. We know what the Saints are about. For me, they're still the team that go into the playoffs and could potentially do the most damage over in the NFC. I think their offense is clicking on the all cylinders. I think the scary thing for everyone else right now is that defense is looking pretty good as well.
Yeah, no, it's looking very good. It's interesting. I mean, especially looking at some of the games yesterday, when we were talking about that Minnesota game and bringing Teddy Bridgewater in to relieve Case for, you know, he hasn't played for, what, 2013? And the first pass he throws the interception.
Yeah, I mean, it's been a long road back for Bridgewater. I mean, it's good to see him back out there. I mean, but Case Keenum was 20 out of 23.
Yeah.
Just did what he does best. Minnesota looked like, again, they're all clicking on all cylinders, and they're obviously a tough team to beat in their NFC playoff run. But I think for me, the big positive take it out is it's the fact that Bridgewater is actually back on the football field.
Yeah, no, it's good to get him back up there and take some pressure off of Case. I mean, I was always interested, you know, Garoppolo, I'm a big fan of, who keeps winning despite the fact that the 49ers don't really want to win. It's like, we want a good draft pick. Stop winning, Garoppolo. He's been playing absolutely phenomenal football.
Oh, he's playing phenomenal football. It's quite interesting to see exactly what he is playing at the moment. I think that's all going to come to an end next week, though, against Jacksonville. But we keep saying this, you know, can Garoppolo win again? And he keeps on doing it. For me, he's been one of the most fun things to watch outside of playoff teams towards the end of this season. But as you say, did the 49ers really want to win these games? I don't think so. Because
no, you draft. You want to get a good draft, and now you're moving all the way back because you keep winning.
Yeah.
Damn you, Teddy. Damn you, Jimmy. You keep winning for us.
Yeah, I mean, the thing was, though, when they got hold of him, there was a lot of talk around whether or not he'd actually, you know, suit up for the 49ers this year.
Yeah.
For me, they've made the wrong decision by suiting him up, but at least they've got an idea of what this guy can do at this level.
Yeah, no, exactly. I don't know if you saw that hit, too, that Thomas Davis did on Davante Adams. Man, that was a horrible hit. I was just watching that, and he led it. You could see him on the sidelines afterwards, like, holding his head, like, what have I done, what have I done? But you just led helmet to helmet. You knew exactly what the fuck you were doing when you did that.
Yeah, I mean, those are the type of hits that none of us want to see. You know, we again, they look bad at full pace. They look even worse in slow motion.
Oh, yeah.
So, for me, it's a horrible one, and we've still got to learn an awful lot about things like that, because if they're still happening in football, you know, sorry, but we need to come down hard on players.
Yeah, no, those are the bigger fines that you would want to do. I mean, the big fine that's going, obviously, is Carolina owner Jerry Richardson, who's selling the team, and Steph Curry and PDD, like, we'll buy it. But, you know, he's got these allegations of racism and sexual. I mean, 81-year-old man racist? Come on, no way. That can't happen in Carolina.
I mean, it's kind of like the last guy we really saw forced out of a franchise was, Donald Sterling of the Clippers, wasn't it, a few years ago? It's kind of like along those sort of lines. And, yeah, I mean, they want to get rid of him. Absolutely fine. Go.
Yeah, and it's one of those things that Jerry Jones obviously said he feels bad, but you also look at how many owners want to get rid of Jerry Jones.
Oh, yeah.
You know, but Jerry's just too much, and obviously having the richest team, you're not going to get rid of Jerry anytime soon.
No, Jerry's here to stay. It's Jerry's world.
It is Jerry's world. We're just inhabitants. Let's take a look at some of the games we have this weekend. Obviously, there's games the 23rd, the 24th, and the 25th. Saturday games, Indianapolis at Baltimore. Andrew Luck, we're sort of mentioning, who's going to have another surgery. He's in Europe, apparently. Yeah. He's around here. Jesus, Luck. I mean, no luck for him. I mean, I don't know if this guy's ever going to play again.
No, I mean, from what I hear, isn't it? If he has a second surgery, it's, 3 to 6 months, isn't it, I think, they talked about. So, again, the decision's got to be made soon.
Well, the Colts hadn't, you know, he hurt himself until, like, 2015. They didn't get the surgery until 2016. No. So it's the Colts. They should have done something. Ursae's a bit of a dick.
Yeah, I mean, we've got a scenario here. They've been very... I'm going to use the word fortunate, not lucky. Because what happened to Manning, and then all of a sudden they then get Andrew Luck, and then all of a sudden they got like another really bad injury for a star quarterback, and they've got to make a decision. And it seems like they're always making the wrong decision. Because I still think they made the wrong decision with Peyton.
Yeah.
So and they're now making the wrong decision, I think, with Andrew Luck as well.
Yeah, it's like buying a puppy from a puppy mill, and it suddenly gets sick and starts dying on you. You're like, I've got a cute... Oh, no, it's always sick. And, you know, playing this Baltimore defense, too. This is going to be a tough game. Baltimore really needs to win this game. And Indianapolis is a good... You know, they can put up some points on you, but they can easily be just stomped. And I think this is going to be...
I've got Baltimore winning this. I mean, Baltimore must win this for playoff scenarios. But, I mean, I've got Baltimore winning out anyway the rest of the season. So this is part of it.
Yeah, no, I see them winning through. I see them going through as one of the AFC wildcard teams. The late game Saturday, good one. If you're in England, it'll be 1:30 in the morning. I'll be watching it in Canada at 8:30 at night with a glass of scotch. Minnesota at Green Bay, as we said, you know, why play Aaron Rodgers? There's no point. Put Hundley in. And at the same time, it could be Bridgewater. I mean, you know, Case Keenum will probably take the first half, but after you build up the lead, why even bother at this point? You know, you want to beat the, you know, this divisional game, but at the same time, you're already on the way through.
Yeah, I mean, the thing is, I think from the Vikings' point of view is that if they win this one, they'll clinch the first round bye, and I think that's the big thing for them. So if they can put up a really good first half, get out in front of Green Bay, and I don't see Green Bay coming back in that one, so then they can then make decisions to sit down Keenum. Because if they win this week, then I would fully presume that Bridgewater will get far more playing time in the last game.
Yeah, you would think so. Again, it's one of those things that Green Bay, it's in Green Bay, it's going to be cold before Christmas. I mean, there's nothing really for them to play for except holiday cheer at this point.
No, I know. Sit down Rodgers and sit down voting Keenum.
Yeah, no, yeah, exactly. And put some of your big guys down and just, you know, for Green Bay, but even rest some of, you know, even Thielen I would rest after the first half as well. You don't want, that's a key guy, you don't want to get hurt. The 24th game, 6 o'clock, they're going to be showing the Hippodrome, the early games, but I won't be there. Let's talk about Tampa Bay at Carolina. Tampa Bay's playing. Tampa will only have a 4-day schedule because they're playing tonight, or Monday night, and then they've got to play on Sunday. Short week, again, then coming to play Carolina, who is good at home and is really pushing for playoffs. So,
I can't see anything outside of a Carolina winning this one. I think Carolina would be just way too much. I mean, again, they're one of the elite teams in the NFC, so they've got far more weapons than Tampa Bay can actually handle.
Yeah, and McCaffrey is really, I mean, what a rookie season this kid is having. You know, a lot of people, I think, predicted it, but, you know, he's able to run, he's able to catch, he's just having a phenomenal. And, I think it'll be an exciting game to watch. A game that won't probably be exciting to watch is Cleveland at Chicago. I mean, even as a Bears fan, here's the thing. I want us to get a win, but I think Cleveland might fucking win this one.
That'll be hilarious.
It's like our gift to them, our Christmas gift, is beating us at home.
If the Browns beat the Bears, you're not going to hear the end of it.
Oh, God.
I will literally just send you one text.
No, but I'm the one who brought it up, Steven. I'm like the one who brought it up. I'm the one who's like, oh, my God. This is when I looked in the calendar, I'm like, Cleveland, because I thought, you know, Cleveland would get their win. I originally picked Cleveland getting their win at Green Bay.
Yeah.
But now it's just like, shit, it's going to be the Bears, isn't it? They're going to get their one win, and then all the Browns fans are just going to not let me have it. So maybe there'll be a power outage like Atlanta Airport. I don't know. another one, Detroit at Cincinnati. Cincinnati's Marvin is gone.
Yeah.
He stayed there for like basically... I only think it was like fungus in my shower. That's how long something's been there.
You know, the thing is with him is you kind of wonder how he's actually kept his job for that long. I mean, he's 0-7 in the playoffs. Mm-hmm. He's basically, it's been him and Dalton, that era in Cincinnati. He's a 500 coach, and yet he's been around since a year dot.
Yeah. But, and he's, everyone sort of likes him. He's sort of gotten in the playoffs, but he never wins anything, as you say. But he's sort of trades on this nice guy. He's like, you know, he's a veteran. But eventually, you know, you got to go, it's like, okay, dude, we got to win, you know?
And I think it's a classic case, isn't it? I mean, I always say this with head coaches, is that, you know, as bad as you are in your last job, somebody else will still view you as the answer to their problem.
Yeah, of course.
And he could very well walk into another head coaching job next year.
I wouldn't be, well, I mean, there's a lot of people talking about whether Fox will stay there, but there's been talk whether that, you know, Marvin might go to the Bears. I don't know about that, you know? Yeah. I don't think Fox has done a horrible job, but, you know, we'll see what happens there. We've got the next game, big one. We've got Miami at, Detroit. It's Detroit, Cincinnati. We sort of touched on that one earlier. That'll be a Detroit blowout, we think. Miami playing Kansas City. The resurgence of Kansas City, pretty interesting to see them sort of come back now, especially after what they did to the Chargers the other night. Miami, you know, Jay Cutler was just... he can be good, and then he's just absolutely shit.
Yeah, if you show him the red zone, that's when you start having problems with Jay Cutler. I mean, again, this one, it's got Kansas City win written all over it. I mean, a couple of weeks ago, you might have thought, it might be a bit of a banana skin for Kansas City. Yeah. They're going to have to win it, though, to get into the playoffs. But now they seem to have got this resurgence. They're clicking again on offense. Mm-hmm. you know, Kansas City to win this one quite comfortably.
Yeah, I see the same thing as well. Another one that looks like a blowout on it, but you never know. Buffalo, who actually still have a playoff chance, are at New England. You know, if Miami can beat New England, can Buffalo?
Buffalo mathematically are still alive, but let's face it, they really aren't alive. No,
just like the city itself.
Yeah. just drop a load of snow. New England are going to win this one. I mean, as we talked about before, they got Buffalo and then the Jets. They want this to get the home field advantage up until the Super Bowl in Minnesota. So, no, I can't look past New England in this one whatsoever. I mean, they're going to want to try and get Brady out of there maybe as soon as possible in this one.
And, yeah, bring in their backup.
Belichick.
Yeah, it is. It'd be Gronk for a ball. Another game with playoff implications, Atlanta at New Orleans on Christmas Eve. You know, as we talk about New Orleans, their defense is playing amazingly. Drew Brees, of course. And, you know, Atlanta has been playing up and down. They, you know, they're losing the games they should win and winning some games that they should lose. But, you know, how do you see this going?
I think, you know, when it comes to Falcons, their playoff hopes are hanging by a thread. This is a game they're going to win. I mean, originally I thought maybe if they take the split against the Saints, maybe they'll be okay. I mean, obviously, as we're sitting here recording this, we don't know what's going to happen on Monday Night Football. But if they get that one, then they've still got, I think, to try and get something in this Saints game. And I can't see it.
Yeah.
I think, as I said before, I think the Saints offense is clicking. And the scary thing is the fact that the defense is now playing pretty well. And I think New Orleans is going to have just too much.
New Orleans at home, too. It's a loud stadium, you know, and they've got this hatred for Atlanta to begin with. So, yeah, I can really see New Orleans really opening this one up. And Atlanta trying to fire back at the end, but just New Orleans just being too much for them.
Hello, shootout.
Next one, another team that needs to win, the Chargers. Luckily, they're playing the Jets. I mean, Jesus, Phillip Rivers, that second half, that was some of the worst football I've seen him play.
Yeah, I mean, I can't see him doing that again. I mean, I think he'll play pretty much with a chip on his shoulder because he needs to, but I've got the Chargers making the playoffs. People can obviously have a go at me about that later on, but this is a game where they have to win, and I think they'll get the win here. I mean, you lose a game like that against Kansas City. You did not play well. Everyone was high on you. You know, the defense was playing very well. Mm-hmm. All of a sudden, you know, that should have been one of those big assets against Kansas City. Didn't really turn up.
Yeah.
You've got to think that they're going to go from playing their worst game probably of the year to then turning around and playing probably one of the better games of the year.
Yeah, and unfortunately for the Jets, everyone's sort of kicking ball, but that's what's going to happen to them. The next one is the Rams at Tennessee. The Rams, obviously, the impact statement that they just leveled against Seattle. Tennessee is in for a bit of a shit-kicking, I think, in this one.
Yeah, I do as well. I mean, Tennessee are really falling and falling fast. I mean, we talked about it, I think, a couple of weeks ago that we felt that they was in a bit of a forced position where they were. And I think we're now actually finding out they aren't actually that good. And I can see them actually dropping out of the playoff scenarios now.
Yeah.
This has got a Rams big win written all over it.
Yeah, no, I agree with you on this one. It's going to be the Gurley show, and Gurley's going to run all of them. And Goff's been playing amazingly, so bye-bye, Tennessee. The last of the early games, Denver at Washington, two teams that are out of it.
Yeah.
But it could be an entertaining game with the way Washington sort of plays and watching what Cousins can do.
Yeah, I mean, this is it. I think it's a game I don't think anyone's going to want to watch. They might just see a few highlights on Red Zone, but that's about it. I've got Washington winning this, but in a game that I don't think any of us will really want to watch.
No, it's welcome to the shit show.
Yeah.
A game that actually could be interesting is the one we talked about, Jacksonville at San Francisco. Garoppolo playing well in a hometown. Jacksonville, I mean, you know, Blake Bortles, who is it called him? Javadian Clowney called him trash yesterday after they destroyed Houston. I'm still not totally sold on them, but that defense is just insane.
Yeah, that defense is ridiculous. I think that's going to be interesting, isn't it? You know, a good test for Garoppolo here, like against that Jacksonville defense. Jacksonville, if they win this, you know, they kind of put pressure on Pittsburgh because then all of a sudden they leap ahead of Pittsburgh and force Pittsburgh to go into Houston, which I do think the Steelers will win in Houston, don't get me wrong, but, you know, continue to kind of breathe down their neck. But for me, that's a big battle of the day, Garoppolo against that vaunted Jacksonville defense.
Yeah, no, that'll be definitely a good show, and it'll be good to see what Garoppolo is able to do and how they're able to move the ball around. Another garbage game, the Giants at Arizona. You sort of go, Giants, why bother anymore?
Yeah, I mean, I think so in this one. I mean, I was a bit surprised, actually, the Giants played as well as they did for a while yesterday.
Yeah.
Arizona, again, we talk about it week in, week out. One of those teams that we were kind of high on start of the season.
Mm-hmm.
Now it's just like one big disappointment altogether. Again, it's another game. It's very much like the Denver-Washington game. You're not going to want to watch it, but I do actually have the Giants winning this one.
Do you? I guess, I don't know. I just see Arizona... I mean, they're at home. It's one of those things before Christmas. I usually go with Christmas crowds in these kind of ones, and I think Arizona will win this one. Another one should be a very interesting game, late game. If you're staying up waiting for Santa, it's Seattle at Dallas. This will be the last game on Christmas Eve. Yeah, I mean, Dallas, you know, the show they put on yesterday was a tough game. But, you know, they're still starting to play. Zeke will be back, I guess. I think he should be back after his suspension is done. So that could be an interesting game. What do you think about this game?
Do you know, this is a game I actually went back and forth on quite a lot. Because, and again, my judgment's clouded by how badly Seattle played this weekend. Yeah. And under normal circumstances, with Seattle in the hunt for a playoff spot, I would have had Seattle winning this. But I've actually now gone back on that altogether. I just think the Cowboys are going to win this one.
Yeah, I've got this as a tight game. I really don't think it's going to be that high scoring. I think they're really going to be defensively all over the place. Seattle's going to have to contain Zeke. And I've got this one, Dallas winning 2017.
Yeah, it's going to be really, really close. I think if Dallas can control the ball on the ground, then that will go a massive way to winning this game. I think if they have to rely on Prescott, I think they could be in a bit of trouble here, though.
Yeah, no, it could be. Two games on Christmas, at UK time, 4:30. We've got, 9:30, I guess, UK time. Pittsburgh at Houston on the 25th. Pittsburgh obviously is going to be feeling like a dumpster fire after how they went down to New England and their play calling abilities. Houston just got the shit kicked out of them. So, I mean, there's nothing Houston can really do.
No, there's nothing for Houston to play for. It's more important for Pittsburgh to win this game. Mm-hmm. Again, as we previously talked about, around the Jacksonville scenario, Pittsburgh have got to come out and play very, very well and kind of get last week out of the system very, very quickly, because otherwise they could have a bit of a hangover.
Yes, and hangover is something I plan on having Christmas Day and Boxing Day. The last game is Oakland at Philadelphia. Oakland has just gone from, I guess, contender to just fake, whereas Philadelphia, you know, keeps moving up. And so this is a must-win for Philadelphia here at home. Yeah. On Christmas Day.
I mean, I think yesterday, the game against the Giants, I thought, you know, it could be a bit of a, you know, an interesting scenario with Foles going in there, but Foles played well.
Yeah, well, the Giants took an early lead, and then they just came back and crushed them.
Yeah, and I think that says a lot about Philadelphia and what they can do going forward. You know, they are the leading team in the NFC right now. I'm still not convinced they are the best team in the NFC, mm-hmm. but you can only beat who's put in front of you. They are playing incredibly well. Oakland are so bad. I mean, they're a part of this time for three teams that we didn't know which one of these teams was actually going to make the playoffs. For me, Oakland are teams actually going to miss out.
Yeah, I could see Oakland missing out. And even if they do, they'll get blown out the first round. It's not something very exciting for them. We'll move into now, because we've got some other sports to talk about. We've got some NBA action. We can talk about some NBA. Melo returns to New York and loses.
Yeah, I mean, he returned to New York and he did lose. I mean, the Thunder are still trying to figure this thing out. I mean, for me, I mean, I think when I think about Melo's legacy, mm-hmm. I think that's a big thing for me. I mean, a lot of people talk about what he actually did for the city of New York, how successful he was there. You know, he's going to go down as one of those Knicks all-time greats and all that sort of stuff. I'm not so sure in all of that. And that's, I know a lot of people tell me, well, you are, you know, you're a bit of a hater and all of that, but he only took the Knicks out of the first round once.
Yeah.
That's literally all he did. And he did have some reasonable teams there. Yes, he will go down as one of the best players to go through New York in the last 20 years, but unfortunately that isn't that much. Emotional always when a player goes back to his former team. It was a fun game to see. I mean, we've had a lot of these recently. I mean, Paul George went back to Indiana from the Thunder as well. So, yeah, I mean, get it out of the way. I'm sure he might have had a few bit of nerves going back, but...
And he didn't play that well, so... No. I mean, you got a 10-time All-Star, as you said. You know, you wonder sort of how much luster is still left on him, and a lot of guys sort of how they want to retire. Mm-hmm. But, you know, both sort of shit shows. Speaking of retiring, Kobe, his jersey, retired back in L.A.
Well, I mean, yeah, the thing is with Kobe, they're not just retiring one jersey, they're retiring two of them.
Yeah.
Because he wore two throughout his career, which is, you know, double the price here. And talk about double the price. This is the most expensive NBA ticket on the secondary market since Kobe's last game. Tickets are changing hands for somewhere in the region of $1,500 a seat to go and see this game. I mean, his last game was like $2,000 a seat. Yeah. It's ridiculous. I mean, you know, what a team to put him against. He's going against the Warriors. That's going to be like a big show anyway.
Yeah.
You know, Lakers against the Warriors. Huge matchup. You know, Lakers aren't playing that great. But, I mean, in terms of one of those highlights of the season, most definitely for the Lakers. I mean, Kobe has obviously been one of the legendary players that's ever put on a Lakers uniform. It'll be a fun night to be there, but I must admit that the price is too much for me.
Do you think, though, with that in LA, do you think there's a way to ban the Ball family? Like, just no balls allowed, you're not allowed in here, we're not even allowed to talk and drop the name Ball. I mean, because he's just going to make it all about him and his kids.
So what are we going to say, like, anytime rather than mention the word ball, as in the thing they throw around on a court, we're going to have to call it something else.
Testicle. The testicle family, we'll call them that.
Yeah, it's got to be about Kobe, and that's a big thing for me. I don't know whether or not that this will just turn into another sideshow, and if it does, that is one of the quickest ways to alienate the Ball family in Tinseltown.
Yeah, exactly, because all of the elite people who love Kobe, he brought all these titles to the city. This kid is not, the Ball family is not going to bring any titles to anything.
No.
Now, they're not the same sort of leaders, but, you know, you just want it to be about him. You know, maybe that girl from the resort in Colorado will show up as well. Surprise! Remember me? They rate me in a hotel room.
What is this? Like, this is your life.
Yeah, exactly. Exactly. Speaking about This Is Your Life, as a Raptors fan, Vinsanity, he's coming back. He's 40 years old, coming back to play in Toronto, and he's left it open to say that he might come back to play to Toronto.
Yeah, I mean, I think this is what you said, isn't it? Although he's been around a few teams, when I ever think of the Toronto Raptors franchise, I think of Vince Carter.
That's sort of why, yeah.
A lot of people think, you know, sometimes they'll pay or Tracy McGrady, maybe. But for me, it is about Vince. I mean, he was the one that kept basketball in Canada. I mean, Vancouver lost our franchise. If Vince Carter does not play for the Raptors, I think Toronto lose that franchise.
Yeah.
I mean, there's so many memories. Everyone's got a favourite Vince Carter dunk. You've got Canada. I mean, they even called it last night. The introduction. I mean, the Kings put him in the starting lineup so that he could, like, get an ovation from the fans.
Yeah.
I mean, I think it was, like, a nice touch for him to be able to do that. Vince Carter's always been one of my favourite players, multi-time All-Star, Rookie of the Year, All-NBA second and third team, slam dunk champion. But the funny thing is, he actually wasn't drafted by the Raptors.
Yeah.
He was drafted by Golden State.
Yeah.
And they traded him on draft night for Antoine Jameson. That was a good move.
Yeah, it was. It was, totally. I mean, Vince is one of those things, having lived in Toronto at the time when he first was there, the city was very captivated by it, and it actually gave us hope, as you said, for the basketball team, because everyone was a bit pissed off. One, that we named our basketball team after Jurassic Park, like a character, you know, because it could have been like, what if we named it after like the Forrest Gumps instead? You know, that could have been, it's the Gumps, the Toronto Gumps, because there was never any Raptors in Toronto.
No.
There was no history of them. But when he came in, there was that excitement and that sort of this youthful energy that, hey, we've actually got somebody good. We might actually be good.
Yeah.
And then we traded him, you know, eventually to the Nets. But, you know, yeah, it's exciting. It's exciting to have him back. And I sort of look at it too when Toronto needs a veteran or needs someone strong. You know, someone like a Vince might be good in the locker room. He might be good to have that sort of veteran there to help give advice and dole out and try to keep everyone in order.
Yeah, I mean, I think it'd be a nice touch for him. I mean, I know he's been quoted, hasn't he? Because the microphone's been put under his nose all the time over this past weekend, that he's open to either coming back in a full-time capacity if that works out,
mm-hmm.
or literally just signing one of those one-day contracts where he actually retires as a Raptor. So
we'll
see how that plays out. It's not good he's on the Kings. It's not good he's never really played on a championship team and had that opportunity. Maybe the Kings could perhaps move him, and maybe that might be a chance for him. I would love to see him go to something like Cleveland.
Yeah, I mean, at 40 years old, it's hard, as you say. But, as a Toronto fan, it'd be nice to be able to, you know, get him back, get him for cheap.
But, I mean, every single time we've seen Vince on a different team, he's always added something to that team. I mean, even when he was in Memphis and things like that. I mean, everyone's always got, like, this really good thing to say about him.
Yeah.
He's loved by everyone. So, you know, for me, I would love to see him just have that opportunity at that championship run.
Yeah, it would be good. Speaking of championships and champions, we were talking about earlier that Scottie Pippen has tipped LeBron as sort of surpassing MJ at this point. Is that a bold or drunk statement to say?
I would like to know what state he was in when he made that statement. I mean, I will never, ever recognize LeBron as better than the greatest of all time, in my opinion. I mean, you're talking to an ardent Jordan fan. It's not going to happen, I'm sorry. It'll be an interesting one to debate when LeBron finishes his career. But again, I think the issue you have is that people should not be comparing LeBron to MJ. You compare LeBron to like a Magic Johnson. It's a far better comparison.
No.
But if you're going to sit there and say that LeBron is the greatest of all time, I would throw a number of things at that. Bear in mind, he's been on losing championship teams. He has basically had a shit burger in the NBA playoffs when he's needed to. I mean, everyone will point to that game against Boston a few years ago where he couldn't hit anything. Jordan never had those sort of scenarios. I think I've come around a bit more on the LeBron argument from the point of view when he's come back to Cleveland, you know, fair play to him. And he's also dragged a Cleveland team to an NBA Finals back in the mid-2000s, which had no right to be there. But he's not MJ. It's as simple as that. And for Scottie Pippen, basically the Robin to the Batman, to come out and say that, I'm a little bit shocked, to be fair.
Yeah, I'm a little bit shocked as well. I mean, also, the one thing that LeBron has never done is played semi-professional basketball, or baseball, sorry, and also been, like, an amazing golfer, you know? Like, MJ is just like everything. He's, like, this quintessential athlete, quintessential good guy. You know, you always sort of rooted for him. I know he was Brady, but likable.
He was Brady, but likable until he gave his Hall of Fame speech, which was cringeworthy.
Yeah. Yeah, well, the crying Jordan meme also doesn't help either, but that's what happens. The Rockets as well, we'll touch on those quickly. 13 wins, Harden, man, playing like a beast.
Hey, do you know, I didn't know how this was going to work with CP3 and James Harden, but it's working incredibly well. I mean, they are playing with so much energy, they look like they're having fun. I mean, two of the losses were against the Grizzlies back in the first couple of weeks of the season. 12-1 on the road. I mean, they kill you with threes. I mean, they make almost 16 a game. I mean, this is the way the NBA is now. Oh, that's an argument for another day about the fact that I'm not exactly over enamored by, you know, if you can shoot a three, then you can be successful in the NBA. But, I mean, they're killing you. They could put up 140 points every night if they wanted to. The Rockets are playing incredibly well. They've still got to prove to me that they can beat the Golden State Warriors in a playoff series, and that's what it will ultimately come down to.
Yeah, and that'll be a good game when that actually does go on. Let's move on to the NHL now. Tampa Bay still leading the league.
Yeah.
Toronto, you know, still playing well. You know, there's some crap teams we're going to talk about. There's the big outdoor classic they just had. Montreal and Ottawa. I had some friends at it. It was in Ottawa.
Do you know, I'm actually at a point now where I'm actually tired of these.
Yeah.
I mean, they keep on winning at the Blackhawks every year, it seems, to play in these classics. And obviously, they did this one for the 100-year anniversary of the NHL. Yeah. But it wasn't a great game to watch. I mean, it was, 2-0 or something like that? I mean, it's just like, I must admit, I didn't want to watch it.
Yeah.
It was one of those things I was like, everyone says it's a highlight on a calendar. For me, it's not a highlight on a calendar. I mean, Ottawa are not playing exactly that well either going into this. So, no, I think it's one of those things. It's a novelty that we now need to move away from and just do something else instead.
Well, you know, the one thing I will say about it, though, it is good for tourism. It's good for the cities. It's good because you open it up, you have an outdoor space, it's a new area for vendors, it's a good way to make money. But it would be nice to have an outdoor classic, say, in Vegas, you know, where it's like, it's nice and hot, and they're playing, and they keep the ice cold. But it'd be fun to sit outside, like a California outdoor classic.
But if you're going to do that, that to me is what I've always said about doing in the NBA.
Yeah.
Is have an outdoor NBA All-Star game in Vegas.
Yeah.
You know, have it. Literally just build like a temporary court on a strip.
Yeah. No, something like that could be good. I mean, it would be fun even to add those kind of All-Star things where you're playing in inner cities. But, you know, I like the sort of winter classics, and it's sort of fun, and it's nice to be able to drink outside and...
Do you really want inner city hockey? Is that what you want?
Oh, I'd love to see that. Oh, my God. Oh, my God. Just the fight. Just fight. Just fighting. And there's knives. And, oh, my God, that would be amazing. Yeah, it's interesting with some of the playoffs. We're talking also about the Duchesne trade and what's that sort of done for, you know, the Avs and what it's done for Ottawa. I mean, obviously, Richardson has he's exploded as a result of the Avs for Duchesne leaving. How do you feel that whole trade going?
I think this trade was always in the favour of the Avalanche. I mean, as an Avalanche fan, I absolutely love the trade. I mean, Duchesne has struggled ever since he's gone to Ottawa. I mean, was he the cancer in the locker room in Colorado? Now potentially looks like it. I mean, we talked about it in the past, you know, Ottawa trying to get these no-trade lists together to try and get players moved away from Ottawa and try and rebuild and everything else. But from the Avalanche point of view, I think they're playing much better and they can now move forward to playing a lot more positively. And it'll be interesting to see how they can try and integrate the rest of the players they got in that trade through the rest of the season. And the biggest benefit out of this is McKinnon. I mean,
he's like the second, like he's one of the top goal scorers, like, aside from what's his name from St. Louis. But I mean, he's been He's been absolutely a beast since this trade.
But if you have a spare couple of minutes, talk about McKinnon for a minute and a little bit of a segue. Go on YouTube and watch, if you haven't seen it, Nathan McKinnon and Sidney Crosby working at a drive-through Tim Hortons.
Oh, yeah, I haven't seen that one.
It is absolutely hilarious, especially when people don't recognise actually who they are.
No, no, exactly. You can imagine that. And Tim Hortons, if you don't know, is a staple of Canadian, I will be drinking it tomorrow, coffee. Milky, creamy coffee that gives you the poops. But yeah, it'd be funny. We'll put that link up on our Facebook page. So
yeah,
you guys can see that as well.
It's really good. And obviously, the other thing as well is the All-Star Game fan voting is now open.
Okay.
So if you want to vote for the captains of each of the four divisions at the moment, it looks like it's probably going to be McDavid, Stamkos, Subban, and Ovechkin are going to be the captain. So that's how we expect that's going to fall.
So we're not going to have, like, the fan votes again where we choose, like, great enforcers and people like that to bring in?
No, I don't think we're ever going to have a scenario again like what happened a couple of years ago.
Yeah.
Yeah, no.
That's too bad.
put a stop to that.
We're about to wrap it up, but let's talk before we go, because I'm going to be going off to Canada. We will be putting up some videos and things like that in the interim. We'll be gone until we come back for the new year. But some bowl games are going to happen, and we will be back to talk about some of the big bowl games, but there's some over the holidays. So what we've got, they've got the Gasparilla Bowl. You know, you've always wondered about that one when Temple plays FIU. Some crappy bowls. And then you really don't get any start until, like, you know, you've got the Dollar General Bowl, Appalachian Toledo. Some of these are just the Hawaii Bowl, Fresno State, Houston. That's a good one because it's in Hawaii. You know, I would do that one.
I mean, do you know the funny thing is about it? You actually now don't actually have to put advertisements into radio shows anymore. You just have to read off the name of a bowl game.
Oh, yeah, exactly. Yeah. It's the Papa John's Get 2-for-1 Bowl. Heart of Dallas Bowl. Utah, West Virginia. And then we get into some of the bigger ones. Cactus Bowl, Kansas State versus UCLA. UCLA football, that'll be a good one for them. Independence Bowl, Iowa, Boston College. I mean, is there any that you're really looking forward to?
See,
here?
To me, when it comes to bowl season, it comes down to the big ones.
Yeah.
When we get to New Year's Day,
then
we can actually start wearing some decent football. I mean, it's interesting to look at the playoff this year. I mean, we've had a lot of controversy around the fact, you know, if anyone doesn't follow college football, if people hate the Patriots, if you follow college football, you hate Alabama.
Yeah.
That's basically what it is.
Yeah, exactly.
They are the team that everyone loves to hate. You know, it's a case made that should Ohio State be in there rather than Alabama, which I think is completely ridiculous. I mean, Alabama are there by right.
Yeah.
I mean, they're going against Clemson. I mean, Clemson have been the number one overall seed for the second year in a row, third straight playoff appearance. I mean, I see Clemson winning this one. I think Clemson will beat Bama. I think the interesting one is the OU-Georgia game.
Okay, yeah, that'll be good. That's on the Citrus Bowl, isn't it?
Yeah, you've got that. So that's the other half of the college football playoff. And can Oklahoma beat Georgia? I've kind of gone back and forth on this one a little bit. I always tend to favor the SEC team, and I can't imagine us having a championship game where we won't have at least one team in there from the SEC.
Yeah.
I just can't see it. So if you've got Clemson beating Bama, I think you've got to have Georgia being Oklahoma. I mean, Oklahoma tends to be a bit closer to where I am, and a lot of my in-laws are from Texas. They will not want me to sit here and say that OU will make the national championship game.
I think they will. I think Oklahoma's going to win that one. Interesting one for me is the Peach Bowl, too. Notre Dame versus LSU. Notre Dame has had an up-and-down season this year. Some good wins and some horrible losses.
Yeah, I think LSU will win that. I mean, LSU are my team. That tends to be the team I tend to root for, but yeah, I mean, obviously, and we've had the Heisman Trophy given to Baker Mayfield.
Yeah.
So, of course, yeah, we'll see him for OU in the championship playoff scenario as well.
Yeah, and wonder if he's if you see him on an NFL team next year.
Well, Heisman Trophy doesn't tend to be a route into the NFL in a successful way. I mean, some players have not even gone and played in the NFL. That's Mr. Charlie Ward, who ended up playing point guard for the New York
Knicks. Was it Ryan Leaf? Was he ever Heisman? No, because he was my favorite. I love that guy. Love him. Who's at the back door?
Isn't that the answer to most trivia questions?
Ryan Leaf. Yeah, exactly. Who's trying to break in your door and steal your pills? Oh, it's Ryan Leaf. Oh, poor. He's cleaned himself up now, apparently. He's, like, on the road doing speaking talks about he looks good. It's, like, how cleaned his life up.
You're probably fine to him actually serving you food on a plane tomorrow.
I wouldn't be surprised. We're trying to steal stuff from my plate. Hey, what are you doing? It's Ryan Leaf here. Just boring your potatoes. I guess that's about it. Anything else you want to talk about sports-wise before we, we're breaking for the new year?
Yeah.
We'll do some videos and things like that in the interim.
I think that's it, and just pretty much we wish everyone a happy holidays and a happy new year. Yeah,
and I wish you all a Merry Christmas. And if you got another holiday, fuck yourself. I don't care. No, Merry Christmas. Happy New Year, and we'll see you next year.